perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We got the know-how, we got control. We got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. All right. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 214 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Please go today to patreon.com/grills. I'm September and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Linda and Ray.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about daylight savings time. But first, what have you Grills been up to this week?
Well, I went to a wedding this past weekend. It was a very small, I think it was less than 30 people, like, if that. It was maybe 20. But it was a little wedding for our friend's son, who Ray has known since he was 5.
Yeah.
And I've known a little bit after that because I joined the friend group a little later, so it was really interesting because I remember when he was a spastic little thing running around.
Dinosaur facts.
Unsolicited dinosaur facts. I will never turn down an unsolicited dinosaur fact, however, I must say. But it was really pretty, and like, it was out, their parents have a cabin up in the mountains. And so they had the wedding out there. There was a little lake. It was lovely, like, little backdrop. It was cold, but I was prepared. I brought many layers.
The only one prepared.
And I was the only... The only part of me that got cold was my toes and my hands. Because I couldn't eat when I had my gloves on. So I had to take the gloves off. It was an outdoor wedding because the cabin wasn't that huge. But my toesies did get a little frozen, so I had to go in and warm them up by the fire. But that was lovely. And then, crafty-wise, I have been working on these little cat crochet critters. So I've got...
Aww.
it's got a head.
I'm gonna die!
Yes, thank you. there's going to be two of them that are identical. I don't remember if I said anything about this previous, I think I did, but these are the ones that, a friend of mine, his friend has two boys and they had a cat that they were just super attached to and the cat passed away. So these two plushes are, based on that cat. So I've had several pictures from several different angles that I have been attempting to match patterns with. And I think I've succeeded. I have two heads, two bodies, one tail, four ears. So I've got 8 legs and a tail left to make, and then I can put them together.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Scott's mom did something similar to him. Mm-hmm. When the cats were still alive, but when he was young. And he still has the little plushies that she made of the kitties.
Well, Amy made me the two of my cats, so I have them already. But yeah, so that's kind of crafty-wise what I've been doing. Although, I did forget to write in our notes. I have a maybe project that I might be doing. It depends on how much it's going to cost me to get fabric, and if I feel like I can do it. I have a semi-historical, quote-unquote, pattern for an Elizabethan dress that I want to try. And it is... it's intense. I've read the instructions. These patterns do actually come with instructions, but it's a lot. And I'm keep looking at the pattern going, this might be above my skill level. But if I don't try it, I know I'll never make it, so... It's just... The dress itself calls for 10 yards of fabric. And that is not something I have on hand. Like, I have 10 yards of fabric, but it's not all the same fabric.
Yeah, no.
Make a Sally version.
Yeah, make a Sally version. Patchwork all over the place. Maybe for a mock-up. So, yeah.
More fabric. I could bring back the box.
What I need is black velvet.
Yeah, not
black
fake
velvet. Not
weird sewing bits I got.
Yeah, but what you did bring me will help. It had interfacing in it, and that's I need that.
Yep.
So, so this may be something that I'm going to be attempting, perhaps, because I would love to make it for the next Gardens game we have, where we're going to go to the big gay Arcadian wedding. You know, a new fancy dress for a character that I just started playing. It makes total sense.
Ooh.
You know,
a lot of work in a short time.
A lot of work in 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Three? And then there's the market day that's before it, so I don't know if this is gonna happen, but I have it. Christine, our friend Christine, gave it to me. She just was like, here you go. I don't use patterns anymore, because she's
leveled
the next,
up.
She's the next level of she can make her own patterns, so... Yep, we're gonna see if this works. I don't know. I was actually just
watching one of your favorite YouTubers, the one who makes all the historical garments, the one the pocket pattern came from.
Yeah.
Make Bernadette. A gown. And mm-hmm. her cursing at the velvet was very comforting to me because I know that pain. And it's it's not just me. This does suck.
No, it's the worst, and I'm like, and that's what it calls for. It's like, You should use velvet, or fake velvet in my case, and I'm like, no! But it's a winter dress, and it makes total sense.
Oh.
So maybe not, but who knows? But yes, that's what I've been up to.
How about you, Ray?
Alright, we had the Aberrant Atomic Youth game on Friday, so that was super fun. My character finally got cream puffs, and it was simultaneously awesome and terrible, because she's opening up to this other PC and, you know, trying to make connections and like, oh, you know, this is somebody I don't usually interact with. I feel like I have a lot in common. I can really let myself be vulnerable. And during that moment of vulnerability, an NPC came in and basically ran emotional roughshod all over her. And she was so not prepared for that. And it was fantastic. Like, character is like upset. Like, oh God, I need to regain some sort of control. I am out of my debt. I am feeling like Rick and Morty in that one episode where they just scream for like 5 minutes. But like, player is fine. Player is like, oh my God, finally you broke my character. This is great. I was waiting for this.
You finally broke my character. It's great.
It's enjoyable when it happens in LARPs. It's just much easier when it's a tabletop or something along those lines. Because LARPing, it's like, because it's Simulacra, so we have our little avatar VTubers. So because my character is being super vulnerable, I switched from the Circuit, her little like superhero avatar, to the one that I made of her before her eruption, before she became the superhero, where she's just like a regular nerd girl. And that was the avatar that I was using through part of it. And it kind of like, I don't know, it was it's easier for me to enjoy the misery and emotional detriment of my characters when they're in little boxes far away from me.
LARP, so
LARP,
you have
the bleed
to do that
is
during
easier.
LARP bleed is a thing, and LARP bleed very shortly is basically when you are inundated by the feeling that your characters are feeling and you can't separate the two. So it's much easier to have bleed in LARP. There is bleed in tabletop, but
there's usually that degree of separation more, because with LARP it's everything that you say and act and your body and posture. Whereas tabletop it's, oh, my character is shocked and upset and yeah, they respond this way. You have that, it's like first person, third person.
Yeah, kind of.
So
I've only ever had super bad bleed in a tabletop game once. But anyway.
That happened. Anytime I get like very emotional in a game, it makes me very happy. If it's a very good emotion or a very bad emotion, I'm just happy to get that response. So I've visited my folks, my godmother's adopted, they adopted him, and then he wanted to go back to his family, so they, mm-hmm, they had him for a little while, but they recently reconnected, so I was invited to come up and meet this person who I have no memory of because I was a baby during that time, but they're like, oh, this is so-and-so, they used to take care of your diapers and blah blah blah, and that programming book that you found at the house, that was theirs, and I'm like, oh wow, okay, cool.
That's surreal. But
it's like, my godmother was very happy. This is the first time they've seen each other since all of that, so they were having a good time. So we went up and visited them before heading to the wedding, which was fantastic, and that was delightful. And then we have, I've got a crash course on Sunday in how to feed 50 plus people at a LARP, because we stopped by and picked up the supplies and stuff.
And it'll be great. It'll be fine.
I might be at the age where the only way I can help a LARP is literally to just go and can't do. But this is also my first time. So hopefully this right now is first time jitters, but the anxiety is way high, and it's winter, and my prescription has not been upped, so it's been a stressful day. It's been a stressful week. It's been stressful.
You can always talk to the previous...
I have. Multiple times.
Yeah.
They're a saint, and I love them, but I'm also like, don't scare people. don't be too needy, don't scare people, don't make people worry. It's just like all those stupid thoughts like, oh god, I'm gonna mess this up, oh god, I'm not gonna have enough food, oh god, I'm gonna burn all the food and ruin all the food and everybody's gonna starve, oh god, because I'm not gonna have enough food, or I'm gonna ruin the food, or I'm gonna make some sort of food mistake, I'm gonna ruin the weekend for everybody, kind of, you know, just those little things.
Just remember, you have help for every shift.
I know. And like I said, I am
someone else there with you.
Fully aware that the majority of this is first time jitters, and
yep,
the brain just focusing on, this is your very first time and you have no idea what you're doing. Let's turn that to 11. But how is you? I saw that you made a knife. That was awesome. Tell me about your weekend, Amber.
Okay. Yeah, so I did a bunch of stuff this week. I made a whole bunch more sausage and smoked it, and then finally got the recipe right. Yay! I was hoping to share it with a bunch of people. Yeah, I shared one fresh and one smoked link with a friend who came to pick them up. And then it was really good, and the family just kept eating it. And I went today into the fridge. Our friend Leanne that you met at the fest, she had her thyroid surgery yesterday. So I made soup, and I went to take her some sausage, and there were like only two links left. It's like, okay, if I want to share, I have to make even larger batches, or just meal plan better so that if I leave it in the fridge, the boys don't just eat it all. So that went well. Now I have actual pork belly rubbed and curing. That has to cure for like a week before I even do more messing with it and smoking it. But I am making bacon from scratch. Like, yeah.
Nice.
And then, yes, I went to the Ren Faire again. And I did the blacksmithing. I made a knife. And it's so cool.
It looks so awesome.
It started as a railroad spike, which was neat. Mm-hmm. And you get to do this whole thing where first they heat the handle end, and they use this gadget that's a crescent wrench that's welded to like a big handle. And this twist it has in the handle, you actually turn the spike to create that twist. And then they go through turn after turn with the blade, and you get to do the pounding, and it's loads of fun and interesting. He talks you right through it, and then you leave it there, and they grind it to get the actual edge on it and stuff, and you go pick it up later. And it comes with a leather sheath, so our leather working skills that we started, and I may tap a friend for more so and try to decorate it otherwise, but now I get to figure out how to finish this, because I haven't done leather work other than what we did together. So
yeah.
I'm going to make the sheath all fancy. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go whole hog and look up like natural dyes and make my own dyes or some crazy thing, because, you know, I don't have enough hobbies yet.
Well, onion skins make yellow, beetroot
I know
makes
that.
Red, and... I had another one in my head, but I forget what it is.
I was going to say, there's always Tandy if
there's
you decide
Tandy.
Not to do that.
Yeah.
Not Tandy. Supported, but okay. We would accept. No.
If you can't make your own homemade dye, store-bought is fine.
Yes.
Exactly.
I was
to figure that out.
Too.
And there was something else I was going to say, and I forgot, so... I guess it's not important. Onward.
If you remember it. Huh? If you remember it, we'll just, you know, pop it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't have been but very important.
I saw the sausages and the sauerkraut. And I'm like, oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah, I have a couple fresh left aside because one of my kids and I will eat them with sauerkraut. And I really love the fresh ones. Cooked up
that way. I saw a picture of one of your infamous chocolate pecan pies.
Yes, that was a picture from, I don't know, a couple years ago. And I'm taking orders for those now. I only have one order right now, but... and I haven't really been pestering people very much. But that was funny because I had Fletcher inventory my pie plates to see how many I had, and I was one short. And I was with Leanne when I got the message, and she's like, oh, that's me. I still have mine. Because she bought one at Christmas last year. Yeah, those are freaking good. I'm probably going to make miniature versions this weekend and take them to the brewery, like, Sunday-ish. And that's what I was forgetting. Don't worry, it goes in what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I'll probably... share many ones, and that'll bring in the orders in a way that I'll have to say I can't do anymore if I'm lucky.
I was highly amused because it was today I saw the picture of the pie, and then like I go to YouTube and one of my channels that I watch for like more food history kind of thing, and he did a no corn syrup pecan pie, and I'm like, oh, yay!
I've tried that. Yeah, it's not. It's very tricky. The texture is not the same, and it's hard to get even close.
He said it's like more like a custard.
Yeah, it's a custard pie, which is different. So, but yeah, the chocolate in mine makes it a thing.
Excellent.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about what just happened. Daylight savings time.
Ooh, yay. Depending on your feels about that, I guess.
Some people, I don't know, maybe I'm just super conditioned to it. but it doesn't throw me off. It doesn't bother me very much. I think clocks changing themselves these days makes it less aggravating.
That's true.
I love gaining the hour. I love the fall better.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That one is more easy. I think at this point, the only one I don't have to worry about is the car, because everything else fixes itself. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah, my car and my oven don't fix themselves.
Eventually, our cars will be also tuned into the...
I don't care.
You
know,
for
you
6 months.
I've got... I mean, my OnStar isn't activated, but it's possible. I've got USB ports. I've got, I play Bluetooth through my car all the time. You'd think it could change the clock.
I still have a CD player in my car. I don't have one of them fancy ports.
Yeah.
Well, if when I change my battery, my car doesn't even know what year it is, so...
It's like, what happened? I'm lost!
Yeah, it goes back to, like, years before it was born, like 2000 or something. It's got to be the chip.
Yeah.
So Daily Savings, I mean, I'm sure everyone knows what it is a practice of setting clocks forward an hour from standard time during summer months and back again in the fall to better make use of natural daylight.
I'm just really amused because I was reading through the article that I knew that it had been proposed by Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that it was in a satirical letter. He was being sarcastic. And I was like, I see.
Yeah.
Sarcasm that was taken seriously.
Well, I mean, lots and lots of people carried it forward for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. Like, he proposed it in 1784, but I think it wasn't until 1916 that people started using it. But there were certainly other proposals put forward, and they call it...
1895 was another... 1895 was another time it was proposed.
George Hudson.
Right.
But, yeah, it looks
like... But there's
like
a list I was looking at some point of different bills that had been proposed on it through the years.
But, yeah, it does look like it was started around World War One.
Like, Germany actually started it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
interesting.
Yes. And in the UK, they call it summertime. It's like, doesn't that conflict with other references to summertime? I don't know. But they're talking about ditching it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of antiquated, I guess, even though it's relatively recent. It's already antiquated just because of, you know, we have... the ability to just have lights on whenever we want. And there's not really any point to keeping it around.
Well, it's funny because it comes around to Ben Franklin that way, because in his satirical letter, he was saying, we're wasting all these candles. It was about energy conservation was like his gag. And then that other guy, was it George Hudson or was the person in the UK? Somebody brought up, and they were... The guy in the UK, William Wellett, was wanting to save energy. We had some lights by then.
It's just because electricity is so relatively cheap now. I mean, if you use it all day, all the time, it's going to be expensive. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's not really necessary anymore. People in, I don't know, Alaska or the northern hemispheres might disagree with me because they have so little daylight.
Apparently, it was also the golfers. There was a golfer, what is it called when they petition, when they get together, not a union, lobbyists. Mm-hmm. Golf lobbyists.
Oh, no.
Pushed for it because they wanted more daylight to play golf.
Now I want to
but
go
we're
on
killing
even more.
Golf, so
now I want to go on even more.
I know, since we're killing golf right now, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I mean, implementing it during the energy crisis in the 70s made sense. And I mean, if we think about, I mean, I hadn't thought about it. For me, I always think about my friends who are actually farmers. But when you think about population percentage, I don't know. Is it more important that, like, everyone stays on the same time, or just the people that need to be working in daylight work during the daylight hours, and they just move their schedule around? Because the only time it really has inconvenienced me that much has been, like, when I've had co-hosts that are in other time zones. And that's a huge pain in the ass. Speaking of which, because the Jen used to live in Arizona, and they don't do it.
So most her of them time would stay the same, and ours would...
Yeah. And it's like, wait, which way are we going? Well, we're not going in. Well, we're all staying in the same place. You're moving because you're not moving. And so it's like Arizona, Hawaii, and as far as the United States, I had seen an article a week or so ago that Indiana didn't, but I found out that that is in fact inaccurate. The deal with Indiana is that some parts of it are in a different time zone. And so there was a period a while back where that part that was in central wasn't using daylight savings time, so the whole state would be together. Time-wise. But now the entire state is again practicing daylight savings time by law. And then Arizona has a pocket of the Navajo Nation apparently likes it, and they're keeping... They do change times. It's like one little section of Arizona that does go along with the rest of the time zone.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I mean, cheap or not, for us, I mean, for climate change, until all of our energy is moved to this renewable energy sources, I can't say it's a bad thing to not have your electric lights on as much.
That's true. It says that industrialized societies usually follow the one that doesn't change, and agrarian societies are more likely to use it because of the length of daylight hours which they work by. And I suppose that makes sense, because a large portion of the U.S., especially in the middle portion, that is, you know, the breadbasket, it would make sense if they all stayed on that kind of time. But I'm thinking, like, probably places along the coastline are... they're the oldest parts of America, and they're mostly city by now. So I'm wondering if there's just going to be a gradual kind of shift starting from maybe the eastern and western coastlines, because that's mostly city now as well, and just kind of moving inward, or I don't know.
I know I always hated it, especially as like a kid, having to walk to the bus stop in the dark.
Yeah,
freaking sucks.
And I really do, I really dislike the, you know, I get home and the sun is going down and I'm like, it's 5:30.
Yeah.
What time is it? Is it midnight? No, it's 5:30.
No,
oh my 5:30. God.
Why does 8 p.m. feel like 11?
Yeah.
So if we all stay on standard time, I mean, then how does that work? I mean, do we shift all the rest of our schedules? So that we are still... I mean, the days get shorter regardless. That getting dark earlier isn't just daylight savings time. It feels that way because you're shifting from at the same time, the way they have it set up. Like, sundown goes from after 9 o'clock at night to like 7:30 and then to 7. And then daylight savings time. So then it's like a whole hour at once of darkness. Feels like it feels like more of a change than it is, because it's artificial because of the clocks. And like the getting the kids off to school, and oh, in the dead of winter, it's like it's still dark and you have to get up and do things is super hard.
Yeah, it's
Yep.
If you're like, no, I don't like it. It's too dark. I just want to snuggle into my bed and not do anything.
But I mean, there's literally less daylight. So, I mean, I think maybe if we didn't change the clocks, we'd not notice or be affected by it. There we go. As strongly.
It's super interesting. Speaking of like changing clocks, because like back in like ye olde like Tudor times, the monasteries were the ones that kept time because they had their prayers that they had to do like either like on the hour or like once, you know, 7 or 8 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had these clocks that they literally had a mechanism that you wound it one way and it would be for long hours during the day and short hours at night, and then you wound it the other way and it was for the opposite. So they would change their clock depending on the time of year, but they still had hours, but the hours were shorter or longer depending on what time of year it was. But it would always ring, like the bells would ring on the hour so that the monks could go pray. And I just thought this was very interesting. And I was like, I wonder if we'd have to shift to something like that where our hours were different lengths depending on the time of year. I don't know.
Right? That would about make sense, though. But I think getting everyone to switch to something that dynamic could be tricky.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Asia and Africa don't even generally observe daylight savings time at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading through about like arguing regarding the clock, and I'm like, it seems like it's a very minute savings, and I'm just, I don't know, I just, it annoys me.
It annoys me.
But is like, it worth it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm okay with it. Like, I survive with my clock being wrong in my car. I still know that even though it says 2:31, I told somebody I would meet them at like 2:00. I'm like, okay, I still have a half hour ish.
So, I mean, obviously everyone's going to be slightly different. I'm not to the point where it's like if my clocks are like 2 minutes off, I have to go reset them, but I do like having the hour correct, so I will try and make sure all my clocks are set. Just because, I don't know, I easily lose track of time. I very, very easily lose track of time. So if I look up at a clock and it's not correct, I won't know it's not correct.
Very, like, intrigued slash, like, dubious about the daylight saving time likely reduces some kinds of crimes such as robbery and sexual assault. Fewer potential victims are outdoors after dark, but we have streetlights, and I don't know. I'm not sure if that still is as relevant.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
There's a lot more lighting and just in general light pollution everywhere. Oh no.
I don't know, there's just so much. I kind of think it's going to disappear just because people hate it, but I don't think people even fully understand. I mean, it's obvious in our discussion. We're not even sure why. Like, why are we doing this? Well, there's reasons why. I don't like it, so why are we doing this pain in the ass thing? But it affects
other...
We do
it because of tradition.
But moving, like, there was a thing they did in Spain, I don't know, at some point in the 1900s, where they just, for certain times of the month, changed meeting times to later and earlier. See, and that would make sense, because a lot of people have trouble driving after dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you've got a meeting at 7:00 on, let me see, the first Tuesday of the month. It's random. it's a meeting I went to for years. Driving there during the day and then driving there at night is impossible for some people.
Yeah,
and 7:00 is a time of day where that is shifted half the year. So maybe just, you know, rearranging everyone's schedule. You're still going to rearrange your schedule instead of rearranging the whole clock. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm an illusion, like money. No, sorry.
We made but it I think up. Everybody should get on board with the same when to change it if we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Like the UK doing it a week earlier than us actually messed with me this year. Now that we are more internationally connected with like watching streams and talking to people online, and I just get annoyed at time zones when I've had to work with people on the West Coast and I'm in the East Coast. Like the UK changing their clocks a week ahead of us was... I saw all kinds. The most of the people I had who had problems with the change this time was because of that. Like, yep. Oh shit! I'm supposed to be on the show an hour ago. You know, type stuff.
So maybe in the spirit of globalization, and we're all one, we're all humans. You know, we all jump on that learning Esperanto, and we all just. We have time zones because we need time zones, but maybe, you know, lose daylight savings. Cross the globe.
And did you see the stuff about Morocco? So, Morocco's cray. Like, since 2019, they observe daylight saving time every month but Ramadan. Because the Ramadan is determined by the lunar calendar. So, during that month, the civil clocks change. And then at the end of the month, they turn it forward to Western European summertime. And then they stay there until the next year for the holy month. So they just change for a month. There are places that yeah, are talking about doing 2 hours at a time. Like, all right, we all need to agree on something.
Yeah, because I'm like, I assume that has to do with the fasting. Because,
yeah.
It's a long time to fast. It's very long. I think they're also sunrise to sunset, no food, no drink. Because I remember when my parents fast, we're Baha'is, we're not Muslim. So it's different a little, but also still kind of similar. So, but they would have to get up at like 5 a.m., eat food, go the rest of the day without food or water, in medicine, and then we'd have like dinner at 7 or 8 and be like all the food.
Seems like most of the time it has actually been successfully implemented and gotten behind has been some kind of energy crisis or another. Honestly, that seems to be the common thread, whether
so
Ben Franklin was joking about
it,
or in the 70s, or during wartime when there's coal shortages, or like we keep end up having to go back to it to save energy.
Yeah.
And now that I've looked into that aspect of it and thought about it that way, well, I'm okay with keeping it if it's saving energy.
But I don't think it's really saving that much anymore. Like, one of the things that
how's your
I saw,
electric plant
like
powered?
0.3%.
Because we still have.
Because we still drive, even though it's dark. We still have lights on outside. We still can do everything that we would normally do. So I honestly, technology, I'm not sure it really even impacts energy consumption at this point that much.
Oh, the crypto haters would disagree. And, I mean, I guess it depends on the percentage of energy consumed by actually lights on in the house that you just don't have to have on. And the street lights that you don't have to have on. Like, there's a lot of savings. There's probably more savings than just that they're triggered automatically by darkness. The clocks aren't controlling. Are the clocks controlling any lights anymore? Unless you're setting a timer on it. But my house is pretty dark.
I mean, I try to use only the lights I need to.
Yeah, I have kids.
I mean, I feel like having one light in the living room on is less energy consumption than our office building having all the lights on in the building because work from home. But
Yeah.
That's like trying to figure out exactly your carbon footprint.
We are not qualified to do all that.
Nope.
I passed that class, thank you. I don't have to do it again. They made us do it in one of our science classes in college.
Oh, wow.
Had to calculate our carbon footprint. I'm like, well, this is going to be a lot. I'm a commuter student and I work, so.
Yeah. Have you seen The Good Place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. Like, the unintended consequences of things like we're trying to do good for everybody and trying to eat organic and trying to turn our lights off, but, you know, then it's people that are unemployed and poisoned and all the horrible resources it takes to make almond milk and, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're all going to hell, but if you have opinions about daylight savings time, please feel free to email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So what are you most anticipating right now?
I have a long weekend coming up because we have decided not to go to LARP this weekend because, as I had stated previous, I had accidentally booked myself from October to January 1st solid on every weekend. And I still haven't unpacked from Gardens because I have not had the time. And I have not had the energy, so I'm just going to go ahead and take my Friday off, and we're just going to... I'm going to have a long, nice long weekend where I might look at this pattern and maybe cry a little bit over it, and then I'm going to practice making trifle. We apparently have a Friendsgiving thing coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember... This Friday,
because I'll miss it.
So I'm going to make a practice trifle and take to there. There.
Dire.
I just went dire. Real southern there for a second. I'm going to practice my trifle and take it to the Friendsgiving. Beg pardon.
It peaks out now and again. Actually, I was shocked recently. Oh, when you were last week talking about the bookshop. And the pens that you like so much, and you said pin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the pin.
Threw me for a second, because I haven't heard anybody use that little bit of Southern in a while.
Well, I am... So, my dad is from California, and so I get my mostly non-accent from a mix of him and my mom, but the Southern twangs every now and then. That's what I'm doing this weekend.
How about you, Ray?
Well, I'm just going full Southern Belle because it's after the end this weekend.
Yay!
Wake Me Up Tennessee and Possum Trot. All you out there that might be interested, you should have reserved beforehand because I don't have enough food for you. No, it'll be fun. It's great. I haven't played my saloon girl who is not quite that obnoxious, but yes, does have the very Southern accent, so I just go full country honey child, that's all. There we go. There's a voice. I found it again.
What's
How
the
about
menu?
You, sweetie?
What's the huh? menu, by the way?
Oh, we're starting with soup on Friday, then we're going to have a potato bar, and of course we're going to have biscuits and gravy, and I'm going to do a potato hash for them non-gluten folk, and then Saturday night we're going to wrap it up with chili, cornbread, I'm not eating, and we're going to have our first annual pie contest. I have no idea what the winning is, because I don't have anything to offer anyone except maybe a good time.
Figure something out.
I'm sure we got something in the coffers. I'm just gonna have to talk to Miss Dinah about it. I'm not even sure if this is gonna be saloon backed. It's just maybe possibly came about because I wasn't sure I wanted to lug 8 to 9 to 10 pies by myself. So this way I get to share the wealth and everybody gets to feel very involved in the community. It's community building and not taxes.
It's community
We have an ongoing thing about
The ongoing battle of
we take
having
donations
taxes
and
games.
Not taxes.
No taxes
and
game.
We're not infrastructure and game. Because if you call it taxes, everybody gets a bug up their bum.
ATE's real fun, guys.
Ridiculous, and I love it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So, Friday...
Don't judge my weird post-apocalyptic Western LARP.
Once you've been there.
Sorry. Go ahead, Ember.
It's all right. Friday, Rob and I have a little date night planned at Deveste Vineyards, which is, I still have never been there, and it's 15 minutes from my house. But I got an email, and I don't know how I got on this list, but I'm really glad I'm on this list. There's going to be a Bob Ross certified instructor doing a class. They've got a heated pavilion, good thing, because it's going to be chilly, set up outside, and we're going to be doing a winter landscape in the style of Bob Ross at a vineyard.
Nice! That sounds awesome!
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on it. And then, of course, and then we're going to go probably to the brewery for a pint, because that's what we do, and then come home after picking up our son from work to start watching The Wheel of Time, which comes out on Friday. And then Saturday, I think the plan is an afternoon matinee, depending on the boys' schedule, of the new Ghostbusters. So you actually go to a theater.
Yeah, I actually saw an interview with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and I forgot his name. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. The three of the four surviving Ghostbusters, because they're in the movie.
Yes.
Not spoilers. That's.
I'm excited, and I'm excited for Wheel of Time. We are actually looking up, like, oh my god, are they going to drop it all at once? We can't just stay up until dawn and binge it. But they're going to drop the first...
Hudson! Sorry, I just remembered his name. Because I'm a terrible person. Go ahead.
They're dropping the first three on Friday. And then the other five are going to be released weekly, I believe is what we found. So, no matter how stupid... caught up in it. We won't be up all night long on Friday. So
I just
that we can
remembered
go to the other movie on Saturday.
one of my other streaming shows starts a new season on Friday, and I'm upset because I won't see it until I get back. It's Catherine the Great, season 2. And
oh, the Great, yeah.
I freaking love it. It's ridiculous. It's not historically accurate at all.
At all.
But it's very drama delicious and gorgeous costumes.
Right.
Oh,
on.
Man.
So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on November 22nd at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be talking about Six the Musical.
Yay!
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can always suggest a topic for us. We'd love to hear your ideas.
Where can we find you, Grills, on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And you can check out my website at madcapm.com.
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Ino. At this point, I average maybe a stream a month.
And I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.